As referred to by Brother Obi in his prayer, we have the theme text of the convention as cited on the card to my immediate left. And it's taken from Luke 21:28, wherein you will read, "When these things are beginning to occur, your deliverance is drawing near." And we're pleased to have Brother Leo Post provide us with his message for this theme text. So without any further ado, Brother Leo.
Thank you, my dear Brother Brian. And thank you, my dear Brother Obi, for your prayer. I always make it a point that I need all the help I can get. And so a prayer to the Lord to help me is very much appreciated. I want to bring the love of the brethren from our New York class. Brother Bob Gorecki already did that. But let me tell you a little story. There's a sister in our class that said to me at one time, she says, "I was going to give the love of our brethren to the brethren here when I testified, but I knew you were going to be speaking and you would do that." I said, "Sister, you can never bring enough love. The brethren love to get more love than we can bring." And so I'd like to bring the love of the brethren in New York to you. Ann Truth and I are happy to be here with you at this convention. And we also like to bring the love of the Dawn family to you as well. And as Brother Brian has already mentioned to you, you see the topic right there before you. The theme text. A wonderful text. Now, it says there that when you see these things begin to occur, and then they've left off some things that follow in the text, but they're on your program. The text is in its fullness on its program. What's left out is that raise yourself up. That's if you're lying prostrate on the ground, or you're, for some reason, you're on the ground. Get up. And not only that, but lift up your head. Lift it up towards the heavens. Because the King James Version says redemption draweth nigh, but this is from the diglot, and this is your deliverance. That's the correct word. Your deliverance draweth nigh. You know how appropriate it was that we should sing this hymn. We've been watching, we've been waiting. That's been a favorite hymn of mine for some time. I've been watching for a very long time. And let me explain. I was going to say I've been watching for a period of 82 years. And you might wonder how that could be. Well, I'm going to inject a personal testimony into the... But all of my talks are personal testimonies, with especially praise and honor to our Heavenly Father and to His beloved Son, Jesus. My father married my mother under the pretense of being a devout Catholic, because she was a devout Catholic. But he could already see the hypocrisy that was in the church, and he saw that things were wrong. And somehow the Lord led him to the Bible students, and he got to meet with the Bible students and hear what they had to say. And then when my mother had an experience with the priest and she realized that he was more interested in her money than in her, it was opportune for him to say, "Why don't you come over here and see what these people have to say?" And so she did. And she liked what she heard. Shortly after that, my father died. He never lived long enough to know enough about the Lord and make a consecration. But the Lord was interested really in my mother. And she made a consecration. But my father believed thoroughly in the resurrection. And the chief topic of our little household at that time, I was 4 years old, my sister was approaching 8, was the resurrection. We always talked about our father coming back from the dead. And he had a simplistic view of the resurrection. He told my mother, "Don't put a gravestone on my grave because I don't want to have anything interfering with me when the Lord calls me from the grave." Of course, he didn't know what the Apostle Paul said, that the Lord would give him a new body. But that's what I mean by I've been watching. And I've been waiting all the way from the time I was 4 years old for God's wonderful kingdom to come. And the Lord, you know, has not really kept us in darkness. We're living in this present evil world, as the Apostle Paul describes it in Galatians 1:4. And we know that in the scriptures there are these expressions, like our manna text this morning. In the latter days, in the last days, in the time of the end, that there would be an end to this period of time known as this present evil world. And how glad we are of that. And God didn't really hide things at all, because in His Word, He gave clues of this being the case, that He would bring an end to the evil that's here upon the earth. Started back there in the Garden of Eden when He told Mother Eve that in her presence that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. That someday, born of woman, would come forth the one who would crush evil once and for all. And then He elaborated on that promise to Abraham when some many centuries later He called Abraham and He said, "In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And it's Abraham's seed that became the important factor in this fulfillment of that wonderful promise. And when Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, the Lord gave him the insight to say that someday the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, and him ye shall hear in all his ways. You know, last night we had a beautiful explanation of all of the scriptures. There are many scriptures that have to do with this subject. And among those was the quotation from Isaiah, the 9th chapter. And I'd like to single that out, you know, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and that the government shall be on his shoulders." And it mentioned that one of the titles was that he would be called a Prince of Peace, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And his kingdom will be a righteous kingdom that will be forever, forever. And then when the time came for our Savior to come, remember how the angels came to the shepherds that were tending their flocks at night and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, I like to think, dear friends, that you know, at that time, the world was entirely ignorant of the fact that this wonderful Savior had been born. But the Lord revealed it to this little group of shepherds. That's like you and I are the ones that have been privileged to know about our dear Lord Jesus. And of course, when he grew up to manhood and he's ready to start his ministry, John the Baptist was his forerunner, and he says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, a better translation of Matthew 3:2 is that the royal majesty of the heavens approaches. And he is talking about Jesus coming. Of course, his disciples, as he started to call them, all recognize what a wonderful person this was. And they believed that he was the Messiah that was come to bring the kingdom to them. And they were so eager to have the kingdom to come. They couldn't wait for it. In fact, even though Jesus would very plainly say to them on occasion after occasion that he had to die, he had to go to Jerusalem, they'd put to death, but they'd be raised the third day. But you know, that all went over their heads. They didn't grasp it. So towards the end of the ministry, when in Luke, the 19th chapter, it says there in the 11th and the 12th verses that Jesus was telling them certain things. And he knew that they were approaching Jerusalem, and they expected now that he was going to take over the kingdom. So he gave them a parable. And that parable had to do with the nobleman that had to go into a far country to receive a kingdom and then to return. Now, in giving that parable, it may have been that it somehow got them to thinking, because later in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it's recorded how they all came to him and said, "When will be the signs of your presence, of your parousia, of your return?" And also of the end of the world, or the end of the age is the correct translation. So they were given signs by our Lord, signs that they would look for. And this is also the situation here in Luke. The account in Luke in the 21st chapter tells about the signs that he gives them. And these are the signs that we're going to be looking at. And the very first thing that Jesus told them, he says that in the 21st chapter of Luke, is that they would be taken captive by the sword. And he was telling about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, they were already a captive nation. They were under the Roman heel. They had been taken captive back there in 606 B.C. to Babylon. For 70 years they were away from their land. Then they were permitted to come back into their land. But now Jesus was telling them, you're going to really be dispersed as a people. And he says, as our first sign, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Brethren, you and I have lived long enough to see this come to pass. That's what our Lord is telling us about here. When you see these things begin to occur, you know, when the Lord start regathering Israel back there, the time of the 1878, they bought land for the first time through the Rothschilds, and they set up the capability of having little farm communities there. Well, all of this was just the beginning, but you may recall how excited Bible students were in that early period of time. And Pastor Russell, how excited he was about the fulfillment of prophecy there. But he didn't live long enough even to see World War I, which brought the end to the Gentile times. The 2,520 years that spanned from the time of 606 B.C. until 1914. But that was a time when the divine rights of kings came to an end. That was the end of the Gentile times. And secular writers of secular history, not Bible students, have recognized this. You can get books that have been written on this, like The End of a Dynasty, that shows how with World War I came the end of the divine rights of kings. And so this is the time when, in World War I, when General Allenby of the British Army came to capture Jerusalem, which was under Turkish control, and Turkey was on the other side of the war at that time. And the story goes that he didn't have any trouble at all in capturing the city without firing a shot, because they heard that Allenby was coming, and they thought that was Allah that was coming, the God that they worshipped. And so they just withdrew from the city, and the city came under British control and British mandate. And you've seen the history since then. This is now, Jerusalem has been liberated completely from Islamic control. But just think, dear friends, how through the whole period of history, when Israel was dispersed into all the different lands throughout the world, how one crusade after another was sent to get to capture the Holy Land for the Christian nations. And they all failed. The Lord put it under the mandate and the control of a people that held on to it until, you know, Allenby came along and they just stepped away. But then 1948, we see how Israel became a nation under the mandate of the United Nations. And the United Nations at that time split the land into two. They gave half of it to the Palestinians that were there, and they gave the other half to Israel. Israel set up a government right away, and they started to go. But the Palestinians were told, withdraw. Don't worry about it. We're going to get rid of these. We're going to push the Israelites into the Mediterranean Sea. And they tried. The Arab League had a consortium of nations that would try time and again to get that land back and push Israel into the sea. But every time they tried, they lost more of their land. In the Six-Day War, which was such a miraculous war on the part of Israel, they lost even more land. And now they're being pressured to give it back. But we see that when the Lord gave us this promise here of the Jerusalem being trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled, He didn't promise that they would become a mighty nation, a very prosperous nation. Far from being the case. They have their troubles, a lot of trouble. But the Lord is still watching over them, because that's one of the signs of our deliverance drawing near. We had a beautiful, beautiful presentation by Brother Michael Brand of Ginger's deliverance. My mother had her deliverance. My dear brother-in-law, who was a faithful Christian back in 1946, was delivered. My sister was delivered. My wife Mary was delivered. And one by one, the Lord's people are being delivered. But there are more signs that the Lord gave us that would when we see these things occur, he is telling us we should lift up our heads because our deliverance is drawing nigh. Deliverance for all of the Lord's people. And so we have the signs that are given. There'll be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We've seen this, dear friends. This has to do not with the literal heavens, but with the symbolic heavens, the spiritual interests of control. Those systems of control that came into existence during the Dark Ages, when the church-state systems of Europe in particular ruled over the world. Well, that had a limited time. And you might think, you know, that when Napoleon first objected to being crowned by the Pope, and that was the beginning of the time of the end, that there would be a lot of changes. And there were. But as Revelation, the 18th chapter, tells us, she says in her heart, Babylon says in her heart, I said a queen. I'm not a widow. I'm not going to see any sorrow or suffering. And the Lord says, in one day, your end is going to come. So although she continues to sit as a queen, we see all of the shakings of the religious heavens. What a shock it was to the faithful Catholic people to see that their priests were, so many of them were pedophiles. You know, it's not just the Catholic Church either. Since then, it's been revealed that other church groups have had this kind of a problem with some of their ministers. But this is a part of the shaking of the heavens. This is a part of the upset that there is. Of course, the major upset that occurred after World War I was when communism started to spread all over the world. And you know what the communists said. Religion is the opiate of the people. It's a drug. And since the demise of communism, and there's been a lot of return in these lands that have been under communist control to religion again, but it's not the same. Atheism has had its toll. It's had a mighty toll. This is a shaking of the heavens. Shaking of the faith of the faithful. And it's a sign. It's an important sign. And then on the horizon now we see another sign that's coming to pass, and that is of Islam. And the religion of Islam is strange. As you know, they tell their young people that they can become suicide bombers. Give up their life. They go immediately to heaven and receive all of the earthly joys up there in heaven. That's false religion that's causing the terrorism that is spreading around everywhere. And you know, one of the other signs that is mentioned here is that men's hearts would be failing them for fear, for the things coming upon the earth. Now, ever since 9/11 here in our own country, there has been a lot of fear of something like this occurring. And every once in a while in the newspaper, we have an orange alert that says, oh, that means that there's a planned attack now of the same kind like 9/11. Where suicide bombers are going to be involved and cause a great deal of havoc and trouble and disturb our nation. Fear. Fear everywhere. Because of the things that are coming here upon the earth. And all of this is very much like what Peter told us in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, when he told about the heavens being on fire and the earth also being burned up, showing that the elements of religion would start having all this trouble and problem, and it would cause fear in the hearts of people. And likewise, don't forget that one of the important signs that we have is a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. You know, we here in the United States don't realize the tremendous poverty that exists in the third world countries, because we've had it so good for such a long time. Well, we've witnessed in this period of time that the Lord is talking about labor strikes and violence by labor against management trying to make their point. We see demonstrations of all kinds still occurring here and there. But there is a lot of havoc out there in the third world countries. They kill each other off in genocide. It's just an impossible situation. And the Lord said that when you see these things coming to pass, remember that your deliverance draweth nigh. That soon this is all going to be over. We're all going to be delivered from sin and death. Delivered from sin and death. Not only we, but it means that once the church has been delivered, that the world of mankind also will have deliverance from sin and death. Through the wonderful promises that Brother Len was telling us about yesterday in his public witness. I hope that whoever was here from the public was able to grasp some of those things that are so precious to us. The precious promises of God that are to be fulfilled. How wonderful it's going to be to have the Prince of Peace start his reigning here upon the earth with his church. And that's the reason why, you know, there's been a delay in the peace on earth and goodwill towards men until the church can be complete. I like the way Pastor Russell put it in the foreword to the third volume, in quoting the second psalm, and where we have our Lord saying, that is Jehovah, to his Son, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for thine inheritance. And he says, he hasn't asked. Jesus has not asked the Father for the nations for his inheritance, and he won't until the church is complete. So how important it is for this deliverance to come that we have here before us, dear friends. Each and every one of us has to be faithful unto death. And if we are, we receive that crown of life. Lenny Grice made allusion to that. He talked about it to the people. There are so many things that he said yesterday that, you know, just apply to this particular fulfillment of this text. This text that we have before us. And may we be faithful, dear friends. May we be faithful. Even as our Lord Jesus was faithful. Keeping him ever before our mental vision. so that we can be conformed to his image and be like him and to share with him in his glory. Because that's the promise. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. And that will be possible when we are delivered, dear friends. This deliverance that we're going to have from this present evil world, from sin and death. So may the Lord give us strength to endure. Because we have to endure to the end. There's no getting away from that. But he that endures to the end will be blessed. Will be blessed with the glorification that will come to all the Lord's people. May the Lord help each and every one of us to be faithful to the very end. So remember now that as these things begin to occur, and you see them, and we have seen them, that our deliverance is drawing nigh.